Hello and welcome to Parade of Dicks. We rant about our latest dating adventures, good sex, bad sex, any asshole we've encountered. Please welcome my co-producer, Jonelle.
Hello.
And our resident homie, drag diva, professional asshole, Allegra Spread.
Hi.
As usual, we have our dick finder general.
What happened there?
It's like a metal dick finder general. What is
okay,
that?
That's
new
badass.
Version. New version.
I don't like the new version. I like the old version. And we have a very special guest this week, Canadian burlesque performer and producer Lucky Minx.
Hello.
Hi. She is known for her comedic style. She believes funny is the best sexy, soon to be van living showgirl, rock climber, touring North America, and the writer of Online Dating Adventures.
Hi, everybody. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I am excellent. I have to say, I love the name of this podcast.
Thank you. Well, I love reading all of your online dating adventures. I have been
Thank
doing
you.
My own. Do you read the Dick Mission?
I haven't. I just started. Facebook tends to be rather selective about what it shows. So it's brand new. Like, the idea of this podcast is brand new to me. I'd love to find out more about it.
Sure. Fair enough. I started following you after we had some online communication and just absolutely loved what you were doing. We were kind of doing it at the same time, and I was on Bumble and swiping, and these guys are on Bumble, and, you know, it's painful. It's not a fun thing to do, so that's sort of why I started posting. How about yourself?
Well, I think for me, it's become a dual purpose now, because when I did start online dating last year, I've done it for years before, but last year I started doing it like it was my job. I have the time. I decided to dedicate it to that for entertainment purposes primarily. And, I had some interactions. I posted a couple of things on Facebook about those interactions, and it seemed to resonate with people. And it kind of grew from there. And even by the time that I was tired of the online process, I was getting satisfaction from the material that it created for me to post and how much it resonated with other people, to a point where, you know, I think there's a lot of lurkers amongst my friends that love to read it, but don't necessarily comment or like the post.
Absolutely. And I would, all have those.
Yeah. And so I would run into people around the city, certainly in burlesque and even other communities I'm a part of, and they would all just bring up online dating adventures instantly. I'm like, I can't, you know, I'm doing it for the people now. Like, I'm not. So in a way, yes, I agree. It was a sort of a coping mechanism.
Right.
Just because it is a numbers game. You are inundated by, you know, for the most part, the underbelly of humanity. And you have to, you know, you have to sort through it, and you have to have a very strong filter to process that out. And I also felt, you know, what I was coming up with was great comedic material. And I felt that perhaps sometimes it was wasted on the people that I was talking to online, because not always the brightest of chaps. And so I thought, you know, I have to give this to people that may appreciate it. And that's, you know, the followers on Facebook that I've been reading the online dating adventures.
Absolutely. And that's kind of the same thing and sort of why we started this podcast,
yeah.
Because I had those same lurkers that were enjoying the Dick Mission and decided that they, you know, prioritized it on their Facebook feed, and I would run into them in the same thing. So we decided this is our spinoff. I didn't want to blog. I might try my hand at the stand-up comedy like yourself, but so.
Yeah, what happened to me is I gathered so much material that there is an event that happens in Toronto, and I think they might have some events outside of Toronto as well. I believe maybe Vancouver, I'm not sure if in the States, but it's called Tinder Tales, and it's stand-up comedy with skewed towards online dating. And I ended up doing a bunch of performance with them based on this material. I've never done stand-up before. And I remember talking to the producer saying, you know, is this just people that have stories to tell? She's like, oh, yeah, you know, just some people just read off the page. It's very casual. And then when I got added to the lineup, I started reading the links of all the people performing. And it's like comedian, actor, comedian. I'm like, come on. But it worked out okay. The way I ended up presenting is your listeners won't see this, but you guys, can attest to this, that it's a big, old-looking Tolstoy book that I carry with me on stage. And in it, I've pasted an assortment of the interactions I've had with people, and I, you know, very seriously read it.
And what do you call it?
The book?
Yes, you called it something with us before.
Oh, yeah, the Bible, but I know Janelle was very excited about that.
Hey, as a Roman Catholic, if you're going to use the word Bible, might as well for entertainment as well for sexiness purposes. I'm down with that.
Fair enough. And so I think I also would like to add that I think partially why my posts have had such following is that I have a personal code of conduct with them. Mm-hmm. Is these are interactions that I have with people that are very brief for the most part. They are strictly online. We never get as far as to sharing any sort of intimate, information about each other. Very, very few occasions, and it's only when it's of the most deserving atrocities do I even mention a name.
Sure.
So it's very anonymous. Uh-huh. I'm never mean-spirited. It's been described as sardonic or mocking, and it's usually quite elevated language. And so I feel like I have a code of conduct that makes people feel like, it's funny, it's poking fun, but it's not being a bad person in the process.
Sure.
So I kind of lost track of why I started that. Yes. So I have this, I started presenting this on stage, and I did a handful of times. It was great fun. And if you guys want, I'm happy to read a few for your listeners. All right. So there's this one. It's titled Slice and Dice. Match. He says, in reference to a photo of mine, "I like how you handled that popsicle. Question is, how do you handle a plantain?"
Oh my God. Casual.
And I say that I slice up and deep fry.
They love it.
And his response was, "That's cheating."
Now, for a little while, you tried different profile descriptions, right? To see the sort of responses that you would get.
Yes. Yes. It was very much a social kind of experiment in terms of what would provoke what kind of responses. I definitely like to shop in two categories. I sometimes try what I call the age appropriate. So let's say it's like 35 to 45 year olds.
Okay.
And I set the bar pretty high for them because I figure these are fully formed adults. so I let nothing slide.
Okay.
And so I'm pretty hard ass with that. And so I've certainly, I do, I am on there to also, I'm open to meeting people, and
there
I have
you go.
Met.
That was...
Right. And when you've met people that you actually date, you don't post about them, and you dropped off a little bit, right?
Well, it happens in waves. It is quite taxing.
Sure.
So I don't drop off because I'm seeing somebody. I'm polyamorous, so it's always a possibility to meet more people. It depends on what I'm doing, what else I'm doing in my life, and whether I have the energy to dedicate to that.
Sure. Me too.
And so, for sure. It's the different profiles have been interesting. Sometimes, so the other category I refer to it as the juniors. I'm dropping the junior department.
There you go.
Because I think there's certain themes that run through my posts that people identify. I like to play the cougar card.
Okay.
I definitely seem to. I don't know. I feel like I turned 40 and the universe went, here's your cougar package. And it's serving me 22-year-olds all the time, which is fabulous. I'm not complaining. But when I try in that category, it's a very different angle. It's much more lighthearted. I have very little, expectations because I do have an understanding that perhaps they have a different range of experience when it comes to dating. But there's still conduct that is basic that I expect.
Cool. Sure. So... I have a list that I call the dick disqualifiers,
yes.
And those are the things that I am looking for, well, rather looking not to have, traits right. I would like them not to have. So one of mine, which I thought you could relate to, is the inability to spell and or use the proper your, or there. And you have talked a lot about their language, their punctuation. And so
I become the punctuation queen, basically, on there.
Do you hold both groups to that?
I do, actually. Absolutely, because I feel like that's something that's covered in elementary school, and I'm assuming most of them have that level of education. The thing that I find surprising and incomprehensible is that when you talk to people online, that is your medium. The typing of words is the way you're conveying yourself. And what are you trying to tell me by not being able to capitalize a word or being able to throw in a question mark? It's like, how are you trying to convey yourself? There's very little to go on. Of course, I'm going to judge you by your punctuation. I'm going to say, well, perhaps, you know, you're just not of the intellectual caliber that I require, or basically your education is lacking, or you really don't care. And that's also a factor. Fair. So yes, I, there's been very many humorous spinoffs off of the punctuation angle. Like what was it? I think a person was asking me, you know, what are you into, or what do you like? And I was like, you know, I'm easily seduced by punctuation. And then his next question is, what are you up to right now? Not a single capital, not a single question mark. I'm like, seriously? And serving it up on a platter, yeah. And telling you.
I'll give you a period, an exclamation point, and another period. There you go. But before that, too, before we dive in deeper to all of the activities that you've done, yes. What is your medium? Do you tell everybody, like, what is your site of choice, or the places where you, I'm going to say, prowl for both?
That you do your cougaring.
Yeah, cougaring as well
shopping.
As getting material.
Where are you shopping?
Primarily Tinder. Mm. I've never gone back to sites like Plenty of Fish or OkCupid, because I find that, you know, anybody can message you, and that's problematic. At least Tinder and Bumble and whatever else is of a similar style, you know, you do have to match before you get to have a conversation. So it does filter out some. So yes, mostly Tinder. I did try Bumble, and I'm very much pro messaging first. I just found that it was somewhat less productive for me.
Oh, cool.
So Allegra was asking earlier, because I just lost it. I had it and I lost it.
Live show, guys. Live show.
Oh, that some of those people that see you on your profile.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was like,
now you want to ask it? I'm like, ask it.
Whatever. I'm sorry. I'm just like completely like sunburn brain right now. I wanted to ask you, there was something that you posted about men organizing to try and have a drink with you, and then crickets, and then finding you on your social media handle and creeping for all your butt and boob pictures and liking them instead, and ghosting you in an Instagram kind of way.
Yes.
Tell us about that. I've experienced that too, and it drives me fucking insane. And
I mean, percentage-wise, it's not too many. Obviously, I'm quite easy to find on social media. Being a public figure, you know, you look up Lucky Manx Burlesque, you know, everywhere. You can find me everywhere. So I'm not surprised that they can track me down, but it's very unusual for somebody to, like you said, you know, they chat with you, you kind of go, all right, let's get together, and it never goes anywhere. And then they find you on social media. Like, I think I remember the specific post you're talking about, and he seemed like a well-adjusted individual. He did.
You know, don't they all?
Yeah. And so it wasn't even somebody that I wasn't posting about him in the context of, oh, look at what this guy said. It was just more his behavior later. Yeah. I was like, that's unusual. And even on Instagram, when he liked stuff, I tagged him saying, hey, I see you.
And still I got like, call him out. Still nothing.
Still crickets.
And he continues to like stuff occasionally, which is, all right, well, cowardly.
You, so weird.
So, so you're on your dating profiles as Lucky Manx.
I am.
Interesting.
Yes. It's just, I'm mostly active on Facebook under Lucky Manx, which I should also say, if anybody's super curious about these posts, they are only on Facebook, and I post periodically. So the only way you can see it is to friend me. So if anybody is interested, shoot me a message when you send me a friend request and tell me why you're friending me, because otherwise you will be ignored.
Right.
And
John L. We went over that before.
Sorry about that. And basically you can do a search. Once you find my profile, you can do a search and title it Online Dating Adventures. Each post is titled by that. And so Sorry, I lost track of your question.
No, that's okay. And so if someone was to come up to you at a show where you had just performed and taken your clothes off, would you entertain the idea of going on a date with that person?
Well, honestly, I think obviously it depends on the interaction and whether I was interested in the specific person. Mm-hmm. On principle, yes. Historically, I have found that I am never approached at a show. I'm never hit on, but I also don't have that type of personality or demeanor that
interesting.
It inclines people to feel like they can take liberties.
Okay, fair
That's
enough.
That's kind of like the reverse psychology thing of performers. People think that because they're performers, or as a guy looking at a attractive woman on stage, I would never try to hit on a performer or a bartender or a waitress, thinking that because they are interact with people so much.
But also because right. they're at work.
Exactly, too. Yeah. It's like, you know, the chances of a person interacting with you right after you doing your set seems both too disrespectful and just, you know, you're waiting for a no right there.
There are some bold ones. Let me remind you, there are some bold ones.
Of course, there's always exception to the rule. That's true.
I'm curious, actually, what like the experience at large is of burlesque performers and women specifically, if men feel, you know, comfortable or I'm not saying, you know, there's people that you don't want approaching you in under any circumstance, but are there people that will flirt and approach and ask you out? Because historically, I found that they do not. And I wonder if there's an intimidation factor.
Well, I think it depends on the person and your character. I actually live a double life. So my burlesque persona is one thing and the rest of the time I'm something else. And I'm strong in both, I would say. But it doesn't lend itself so well to being approached at a show. I say hello to everyone and do things like that, but no one's going to hit on me at a show. The people that maybe will hit on me eventually are people that come to every show and are fans and feel like they've gotten to know me, and people who follow along on my dating adventures on Facebook. So they've read it and I sound like I'm just really hungry for dick and that I just want, like, because it's like all the dicks and I just want, you know, them all coming at me from all directions.
Well,
and
who
so-
doesn't?
I don't. But
a lot.
But it's really, for me, it's really about being selective and finding one really good one that I want to share my life with. That's really how it started. But just sort of making fun of the process of that for me and wanting to experience all the dicks in the meantime, but really all the good ones. Because I'm also.
Oh, I have to. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, like, I actually approach it from a very different angle in terms of I actually. Because I don't have a specific agenda or need in terms of dating, I'm actually a total nightmare on Tinder because like there is no angle that they can take with me that will entice me to, you know, lower my standards or expectations of people because like I'm not, you know, searching for a specific thing.
Right.
It's playtime.
It's something to pass the time. And yes, I'm open to meeting people. And yes, I do meet people, which the other point I wanted to make is the people that come up to me in real life that I know say, oh my God, I love your online dating adventures post. And that often the second thing they say is like, and I'm so sorry, you know, that yes. this is happening. Yeah. And I'm like, look, like the fact is that I often meet lovely people, but I don't post about, you know, I talked to this guy, we had a civil conversation, he seemed interesting, we decided to meet for coffee, had a nice chat, and decided to go to the movie.
That, like, how turns me on.
Right. Oh, well, I mean,
that's
there is
the
exception to the rule, but it's from my angle being humor, there isn't a lot to work with there. Mm.
Absolutely. So I would sit when I was bored at work and I would be swiping or on the train or waiting for the train. And I would swipe and it was just for fun. And certainly all the conversations just approach them to have fun, but I would try to meet them quickly. So if it was a fun conversation, it probably wasn't going to lead to a meeting. And if it did lead to a meeting, it probably wasn't. Sorry, we're having technical difficulties.
Yeah, what was that?
It probably wasn't that fantastic, unfortunately. But sometimes I would get really good stories out of those dates. So even though there is an end goal, it was certainly about the process of it and finally enjoying dating through the posting and the comedy of it and all of those things. And if I could get laid a lot and have some good sex or some funny stories out of it, then that was worthwhile. And we all sort of would meet and exchange our stories.
Talk about it.
And
taco
over tacos.
It.
We would talk about it.
Yeah. Amazing.
So I only went on one date with a younger guy. I usually date older men. And reading yours and some other people online were just, and one performer out here in New York was just going on and on about how great it was. She had gone back to school. And so she was fucking all these college guys and loving it and raving about it. And so I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. And I went on one date with a 29-year-old guy, and he showed up with a backwards cap, and he kept his jacket on the whole time, and he just didn't have any life experience. He was new to the city, and the conversation was an atrocity. So how the hell do you do it? Tell us about it.
Well, I have to say, so for me, what I found, it's really completely, what I look for in people is seems to be unrelated to age, because I am also sort of in a very niche place in life. So I don't have a lot of peers. Certainly, men my age are often in a different place in their life. And so perhaps that's why I can connect with people that are younger on that level. But I found, you know, there's idiots that are 22, there's idiots that are 42. So it's really not that age specific. I've just been really fortunate and the people that I have met that are in their early 20s have been excellent individuals that happen to be 22.
Sure.
You know, and on the flip side, I've certainly met men in their later 30s or early 40s and who have been just, disasters.
Absolutely.
Disasters is a relative term. I've never had a in-person experience that was traumatizing or something that, you know, couldn't be laughed off or just very sort of not go somewhere, boring at most. Mm-hmm. But certainly I've met people that are closer to age to me that had very unusual philosophies on life from my viewpoint. And I felt that the people that were younger that I've been dating were far more open-minded and aligned with a lot of the social views that I had. Okay. So that's been a factor. But yes, you know, there's pros and cons to every age group. But overall, I think good people are good people, whatever age they are.
Absolutely. But are you sleeping with them sometimes?
Of course.
And so,
what are you doing this? I call it a you know, this is being very glib, but I call it a mentorship program.
I was going to say teach the children.
Yeah, how do you do? And I'm doing it for their generation of women.
Exactly,
you know? I love it.
You're doing God's work,
public service.
Absolutely, yes. Bible, God, work. You know, everything. It all comes together. So I say that in jest. You know, there have been 22-year-olds that are, you know, keeners and great learners and came with a good basic skills and picked up many more. And then there's been some that showed up with a good set of skills. I'm like, all right, you might teach me something.
Cool.
So did they come into it wanting to teach, like wanting to be taught?
Oh, yeah. There's a conversation where I say I have a mentorship program and they ask me to sign them up.
Okay. They send out a resume and then they get a call
back.
Yes,
there's the interview process. There's references, you know.
So I went out
but
I went out with an older guy, like I typically do, but the oldest one that I've, not the oldest age difference, but starting to date men in their 40s, and he was completely lost, and I actually liked him, so I thought I would try. He was Canadian, actually. I thought I would try to teach him something. No. It was really bad, and I don't think I have that skill. So can you teach me to teach them? Because I had to teach him underhanded, literally.
You had to teach
like
them
how to
what?
Handle,
like to insert his finger underhanded instead of poking at it.
Wait!
It's helpful to have the video for this conversation so you can understand. But
I mean, these are I have some hilarious stories that I, you know, don't post about. These are conversations I have with close friends, and I regale them with these tales of like sexual misconduct. Basically,
tell us. Like, we want to know.
Like one or two examples.
No. But yes, there are some basic things that you're like, you know, there's one story where I actually a recent thing, and it was a really confusing process. And I'm not actually particularly proud of myself that I did sleep with this person, because there were all these things where I'm like, I don't think I like you as a human being. But then on the other hand, there were things where we like got past that, and then we started clicking and connecting and chatting, and I was like, wow. And but I did find him physically attractive, and he wasn't atrocious, like he wasn't rude, he wasn't, it was just things that he was saying that we were like of very different opinions about. I'm like, I don't think I can do this. And then we get past it. And, we had chemistry. Mm-hmm. And at some point in the conversation, we talked about sex and he was asking about things that I like and I'm into. I'm like, okay, well, this is good. Like, he's inquiring, I'm assuming, for future reference. Mm-hmm. And it was pertinent to the conversation, but he alluded to the point that he had a very large penis. Well, I'm like, at this point, I have to see it.
Sure.
Prove it. Like, all right, you got me. I got to see it, And basically, the whole night became very sort of stereotypical guy with large penis. Well, here I am, I don't really need to do anything.
Right.
I don't care how lovely your penis is. Me sucking it is not going to get me off.
Absolutely.
Size is irrelevant if you don't know how to use it.
And ladies first. Ladies should always come first. Jonel is actually really good about that.
Yep.
He makes sure it happens.
It's a rule, no matter how numb my face gets. It's a rule.
The ladies ladies come first, and then the men can have whatever they want. Because I have this girlfriend, and she always makes that mistake. Her eyes light up when she sees a big dick, and so she sticks it in her mouth. And then after he comes, she's like, "Okay, your turn." And the guy's like, "No, it's not really my thing." We're going to talk about this in another episode. But she's had that happen 1,000 times, and I say he has to go down on you before anything else happens. If that's what does it for you.
When we first met, you taught me that rule.
Didn't you know that rule before?
No, but you yelled at me about it, about the fireman. I was telling her about this fireman that I was fucking, and I gave him a blowjob, which was stellar because I have skills. And then I was like, "Your turn." He's like, "Yeah, I didn't do that." And I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me? You just don't do that. I didn't do that.
But then people tell me that
when
I've posted those things online, that's like rapey to say you have to do it.
No.
But I don't think so.
I don't want to suck a dick though. But here we are.
So here's the thing. I will tell you the rest of the story is, he didn't go down on me. Like, even though I was hinting at things, we did have sex. And I'm like, that's just not going to be enough. And he did finish too soon. And I was like, okay, well, we can still remedy this. There's things you can do. And he was very not really following up.
Sure.
And I tried.
Yeah, so basically I'm like, well, okay, well, it was interesting meeting you. He was like, oh, you're kicking me out. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. It's for your safety. and, later he was messaging me and explained to me that he doesn't, he's not comfortable going down on women until he gets to know them better. Which, that aside, I feel, that's fair. Though. If you bring it up front and say, this is what I am comfortable and not comfortable with, and absolutely neither one of us is going down on anybody.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
That's fair.
But
to ask and insist, or, it wasn't much of a negotiation. I like sucking dick. What can I say? but for him to want that, knowing full well he had no intention of reciprocating.
Right.
And,
that's the thing I have a problem with.
I'm not sure if he was cluing into the fact of that was the issue, and it wasn't that I was not considerate of his boundaries. It was that he didn't state them.
That's a little douchey, though. But you can reciprocate in different ways. It doesn't have to be oral to oral. But you
just have to get
the
job done.
Yeah,
it's unacceptable. Yeah, it's
absolutely.
It's totally unacceptable when men are just like, oh well, I don't know. Did my 3 seconds of fucking you like a rabbit not do it for you? Sorry, I'm done. And then leave or fall asleep or eat a sandwich or whatever. But you used to have a rule about that before because you didn't like sucking dick, right?
Yeah, Allegra? I mean, I still don't love it, but I mean, I learned. That it's a labor of love, I guess. But my rule is that I didn't want to do it. But I also had my other rule was I wasn't going to be not offering oral sex and expecting to receive it. It was a one for one. And I was very adamant. I will never suck a dick. And then here I am sucking dick. how many years later? But at the same time, I'm pretty adamant in that, I have that conversation about boundaries. Can I just make sure that this is a two-way street? Because I don't want to ride down it if it's not.
Yeah. Sure. And I've pretty much had everybody that was willing to do it, but some people did it terribly. And it sort of didn't count. But I have to say that since I've been really firm about that rule, I've been a lot more satisfied sexually, not because of that, but because then when I suck someone's dick, I actually want to.
Yeah.
Okay. It. I don't know. It just.
No, but the thing is, you raised a good question because not a lot of people, some people are not good at it. And that's just fact. You can work on it. But the reciprocation is, you know, effort, you know, counts. But if you really, if you're bad at going down on somebody, buy her a nice dinner or
Talk about it.
Or talk about it. Give a back rub or a foot rub.
I think they need to date Lucky because that's what she's doing. She's teaching them how to do it.
Well, I mean, I have a very firm cutoff. I think if they're like over 24, it's too late.
Okay. So, that's a good rule.
Wow, look.
Yeah, that's like if you're under 24, I'm willing to be patient. If you're over 24, it's good luck. Goodbye, you know?
How many strikes do they get? Like one night and that's it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it doesn't have to be great, but it has to be effort. So the other thing is why this particular experience was surprising to me is because I have generally been quite lucky. And if, you know, I basically have to like fight guys off of me because they want to go down on me instantly. Like it's never been my rarely has it been my experience
lucky
that
she you know, is lucky me
like,
though.
I am lucky me. So guys, you know, like somebody said, you know, I'll pack a lunch, stay for the day. Like, yeah. You know, they just, that's all they want to do, or, you know, certainly are very, very enthusiastic about it and almost like, oh no, too soon. Hold on.
Right. Right.
But so I generally have not had that experience. And for me, you know, I do enjoy performing oral sex on men. So that's part of foreplay for me. Mm. So I'm also very much about going down on them first. So it never really occurs to me that there's humans out there that have this really messed up way of thinking. And let me, oh, this will be like groan worthy because like I said, he communicated with me later trying to justify his behavior. And I said, well, you know, I almost want to read this text verbatim, but I'll try to paraphrase. Is I explained to him, well, you know, that's fine if you have boundaries, but it wasn't okay to insist on oral sex when you had no intention of reciprocating. That was poor form. He writes back, going down on guys is not the same.
I'm sorry, what?
He said that his dick is dry skin and not, you know, full of bodily fluid.
Fuck out of here.
There's two subtexts. I feel like there are two subtexts, and there were other underlying things that I thought, like, there were two things that I think were very telling. Like, in hindsight, I think, one, he was implying, you know, vaginas are dirty.
Right.
And so I think there are possibly some deep, deep-seated closeting happening there. Mm-hmm. Because there were other things that were coming up. I'm like, what? Like, fluids. There were some things that were saying, like, oh, what? But it was a very confusing date. Like I said, obviously, I'm not prone to that poor judgment, and there were a lot of things that we were connecting over, I'm just saying that it's hard to explain. It was a very odd dynamic, but it's like it was mind-boggling that somebody can have these ideas about sex.
Well, I think we all go through that, and we're not here to judge you. I mean, we're just here to discuss these things because I think they're important to be talked about. I mean, it's important for men to understand how that makes women feel. And that's not okay. I mean, that's also part of the reason that I post, and I post a lot, you know, hashtag eat it because I do think it's really important. I do think men really oftentimes, unfortunately, never really learned how to do that properly. And I think women oftentimes do a disservice of pretending that something feels good. And I am fucking sick and tired of sex scenes in movies where the sex lasts 2 minutes, the guy doesn't go down on the woman or touch her at all other than with his penis.
It's not even
she's
2 minutes.
Still dressed.
It's like six
and
seconds.
And she's coming. Like, I want to see some awkward shit where the woman's like, no, could you keep going?
To the left.
Like,
to the left.
To the left. Lighter. Yeah.
Harder. Yeah. Right there. Okay. Don't fucking move.
Just don't fucking move your head. Don't, just like there. Right. Okay. That's good. Okay. Now hum.
That is okay.
So I think it's interesting that you do the cutoff.
I do have to say that I have never, ever faked an orgasm.
Good for you.
Because it's, you know, I don't think it services anybody. And that being said, you know, I'm kind of like, if I'm oversharing here in terms of orgasm, I'm middle ground. I'm not like the easiest to get there. I'm not like impossible. You know, it's just middle ground. Do some work. We're all going to be happy. But I've, you know, never faked it in the context of, you know, one night stands or relationships. It's just like, you know what, this is fun, but it's not going anywhere. Negatively, but just like, this is good enough. I'm not.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
And I feel like either it's okay, this isn't working because let's try this. We need to work on technique, or I'm not in the headspace, but there's absolutely no benefit to a, you know, mini ego boost for the dude at that point. Like, what is it going to get him?
Right.
Like, There's nothing learned. There's no connection. There's no communication. There's no learning process. Like,
Yeah, you have to communicate and you have to communicate your displeasure. That I have no issue doing. I'm really good at letting someone know.
Like I said, get out. Get out of my house.
Yeah.
You might die. Get out.
It's for your safety. I love that. I mean, I have a process called, I used to call it like auditions and callbacks, and then I changed it to bang and brunch. So if you made it to the brunch, you were doing really well.
Nice.
Yeah. And yeah.
And Jonelle has a two date rule.
I have a 2-day. I never do 1-night stands.
That's fair.
Yeah. It'll have to be, there's a small conversation before the first intimate session where I want to make sure that this is not going to be like one time and you're going to disappear.
But you always make sure you get them off in that first time, right?
If you want them to come back, you can't give them a bad experience and expect them to come back.
It's all about restaurant. It's all about customer satisfaction.
Yeah.
I think Michelin you're coming star. At it from a very different standpoint, possibly with better skill set and kind of sense of, decency.
How rare, Jonelle? Tell us more.
I think what the friendship in this little triad that we have right now is, the communication not only with your partners but your friends, and is important because it's inertia. A lot of people who have gotten laid by doing nothing expect that they're still going to get laid by doing nothing.
Yes, and oftentimes very good-looking people are fucking hideous at sex. Oh, like, so bad.
It's lazy
so
easy motherfuckers. Them.
So, I mean, for normaler or more normal people, they have to be a little bit more decent.
She's big on language, though. Muggles. She said normaler.
It's not a word.
I say muggles. That
more normal people. They have to expend a little bit more effort, be nicer, just to make sure that they kind of get what they want. It's more training. It's so that's why I think this big dick dude did, he got away by saying like my dick is cleaner than your vagina, because people were like, fuck it.
We all know he's been putting that big dick in a lot of people's mouths apparently, and getting away with it because he's
nobody
one of
told
those.
Him that. No,
that's not how that works.
That's
but.
Not how it works.
Do you remember that? There was this really hot Australian dude that I matched with, and on his profile it said he had a very big dick, and
I remember this
and
vaguely.
We matched and I was excited. I mean, who doesn't like, I think he even had a measurement, an 11 inch dick or whatever, and it was Bullshit. Some sort of mammoth whatever. Yeah, but of course I want to find out, same as her.
Oh my
show
god
it to
oh
me.
My god, sorry, before when you finish I'll have to tell you about my penis sizing scale. Ooh. All right, go ahead.
so we matched, and I just said, well, what else? Like, tell me something else about you, because I still want to have, a nice date before I meet his penis or whatever. A conversation.
Meet the Penis, the movie.
Yeah. And he really, he couldn't even do that, funny little banter thing back and forth about anything. He's just like, I just know, some people are intimidated. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not intimidated, but, tell me something else about yourself. And he had nothing. All he had was a sexy body and his big dick.
Well, he showed all his cards up front. That's the problem.
Yeah. So what's your big dick scale?
So it's not a big dick scale. It's a penis sizing scale.
Okay, sorry.
I
was focused on my favorite.
I actually developed this scale, I guess it's now coming up on 5 years ago. And that was when I had my last bout of a lot of online dating. I was out of a long-term relationship and I was ready to just meet a lot of people, have some fun. And I built I called a stable of men for the winter.
Oh, I like that.
And so in that process, I encountered a lot of penis, and it comes in various shapes and sizes. And so I created this scale, and it's, I like to explain that it's a very subjective scale, which in this case is a positive thing. It's subjective from the perspective of the person receiving the penis. And so the main category I call everyday use, which I feel majority of men will fall into that category. And there's the lower end, size-wise, and higher end of everyday use. And if you're looking for a long-term relationship, that's really the category you want to be shopping in.
Okay.
And after that is what I call the once-a-weekers, where once a week I'm happy to get on that, but after that I need a break.
And is that because of their dick or because of how they're fucking you?
Or the girth?
No, this is strictly about penis size.
Okay.
And whatever that is for the person assessing the size. So for me, you know, whether it's like too thick or that's too much length or whatever, it's like, okay, once a week, lots of fun, but then chill. I gotta recover. And so then the category up from that is novelty item, which is basically you see it and you go, I don't have anywhere to put that, but I'd like to try.
Oh my God.
And for the longest time, that was the extent of the scale. And then a few more months went by and I went like, wait, there's the other end of the spectrum.
The micro penis.
The trinkets. Well,
the button.
No, so I have something that's far kinder because, you know, it's you know, you got what you got and you work with what you got. And some people work magic. But I reference that as that's going in my ass.
Okay.
I love it. And
just because it's like, you know, that's kind of the perk of a smaller penis where that's like, yeah, all right, let's do this. And, you know, to each his own, what works for you or not. But so since it's subjective, I wrote it from firsthand experiences.
The only problem with that is I have a really big butt. So sometimes it can't really reach.
You have guards. Yeah.
You can't
butt
make
cheeks.
It past the cheeks.
Pads. There's pads. They're guardrails.
They're guardrails.
Have you ever seen a real? Have you ever seen a real life micro penis?
No, not micro. I've seen on the rather small end. I've never seen novelty item.
Okay.
Which, you know, I mean, I've seen stuff that I'm like, oh, okay,
borderline.
Okay, let me breathe for a minute. But I've never seen something I'm like, okay, that's unmanageable or like can't do anything with it.
Yeah. No, I like that challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Challenge accepted. Challenge accepted for sure.
And also, the length for me is not the entire measure of a penis. Like, I have, you know, I there's a very finite length to me. Like, there's only so much I need. Mm-hmm. Past a certain point, it's like, I don't want you to be on the other side of the room when you're fucking me.
Right.
You know? It's more about the girth. Is like, not more, but it's in tandem with girth. If we're being that particular.
And do you care at all about balls? I have a ball fetish.
I like well-proportioned balls.
Yes.
Wow, I don't look at balls?
I think I've seen, you know, disproportionately small and thought, huh. And then I've seen disproportionately large. I'm like, oh, okay, not sure. So yes, there is an aesthetic to well-proportioned, but I'm not completely put off by one way or another.
Sure. You only date men, right? I should have asked you that at the beginning. But...
Yes. I only date men. I had this conversation actually with a bunch of friends that are lesbians. And I said, you know, I'm entirely straight. I've slept with women. They're like, oh, no, you're bi. I'm like, no, I'm.
You can still be totally straight and have slept with women.
Yeah. Like, you know, I am not phobic. Like, I like people. Right. And circumstances came up and it was fun. But I don't feel the same way about women that I feel about men. So in terms of what I'm attracted to and who I'm attracted to is certainly men. Sure. So yes, I date men.
And do you care about circumcision?
I do not at all.
Okay. And what about pubic hair?
Yeah, that's up to everybody. I've again seen a full range.
Okay. Yeah. Have you ever had to dig for the dick through the forest? That's a full range. I'm just saying.
That's a 70s porn bush.
This reminds me of a story years ago. This is probably now, coming up on 20 years ago, I was hanging out with some people and they were talking, these guys were talking about themselves and talking about manscaping and grooming. And this one guy goes, oh, I know, I don't do any shaving. Like, and so one guy looks at him and goes, so like, you're all jungle and no monkey.
I love that.
So that's always what I think of when you're like searching for it and trim it down.
And you mentioned you were poly. What is what is your like largest number or highest quantity
at the same time?
At the same time?
So it's not really a numbers thing for me. It's a philosophy. Mm-hmm. So I could certainly be involved with one person primarily for a long period of time, but I'm still consider myself poly. Currently I say, you know, if there's a subcategory that I identify with as solo poly where, you know, I have no interest in an escalating relationship. I'm not interested in marriage or living with somebody or, you know, blending lives in that way. That's, you know, commonly figures in long-term relationships. But certainly I'm still interested in intimacy and connection and long-term commitment. But with my focus is my life goals and my life plans. So right now I'm very much, you know, casual relationships and nothing that's too long term, not intentionally, but just that feels better for me right now. Mm-hmm. But it ebbs and flows. So it's changed over time. But yeah, it's not specifically in terms of numbers. And also, I'm not really currently a believer in hierarchy either. So I'm not really a primary partner sort of viewpoint either.
Cool.
Does that make sense to you, Janelle? He's kind of new to the poly thing.
No, if
you couldn't tell.
Respect it.
I'm sorry.
Trying to learn as much as I can about it.
So trying to wrap your head around it.
Yeah, it's just there's some things that you're not going to traject towards. Like, I like one partner.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating to see how, you know, listening to how people philosophize.
Though.
Yeah. Philosophize what they're trying to do.
For me, it's, you know, people say that they're born monogamous or they're born polyamorous, like it's an identity. And, you know, I respect that. For me, if I were to try to think of it that way, it's easy for me to be monogamous. If I had to say I was, you know, had a predisposition, sure, I'm monogamous. I just, at some point in my late 20s, discovered polyamory and realized that the belief system and the philosophies behind it are more aligned with what I believe in and the type of person that I want to be. And I think for me, it also requires far more self-awareness and a lot more communication. And so that's why I had to do it.
Yeah, you hear.
We have a fire truck. No,
we are. This is how hard we are killing. Yes, we are on fire right now.
That was me. I was the air horn.
So was that your only question for Lucky? Because I thought you had one before we started.
Yeah, so I guess like towards the close of our pod is you do a lot of, you play chicken a lot with the people that you go online dating with. And that's kind of like playing with fire. So tell us about it. Like, what are the numbers?
Well, we were reading specifically the one where you asked if the guy was into pegging.
Yeah.
We were going to maybe read through it, but we tried that before we got on the line with you. It was not funny.
we are not actors, but you know, playing
chicken. Speak for yourself.
I'm an actor.
Oh, my bad. But playing chicken with a lot of people. You know, I'm curious. It's like, do you start off as playing with them and then become a success story? Or, you know, at certain, like third, fourth message, oh, this is going to be part of the Bible at some point.
Yeah, so I never go in into conversations baiting, right? Like, mm-hmm. I go in with very honest intent to talk to new people, to meet new people in person. So it's never premeditated. It's never, I'm going to bait this person into a game of chicken and try to make him say things that will lead down a path of me, you know, being funny or being, you know.
That's just how people are.
It's just, you know, if it's going that way, you know, if you read that conversation, and I believe it started off with me saying hello, and it was very initial exchange, and he's like, you know, do you want to fuck? And I'm like, well, you know, the obvious, you know, solution would be, okay, block whatever, or report block, and that's not very novel. And so I'm like, all right,
play time.
Let's play. Like, let's play. Bring it.
Yeah.
You know?
You want to do this? Let's dance.
And like, obviously, you're on Tinder, so you do want to fuck. I mean, do you want to fuck that day or next week or whatever? But everybody's there to fuck.
And you match kind of because you have some base form of attraction.
People say they're there for friendship sometimes. No. I'm like, I don't buy it. I call bullshit on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. No, everyone's there to fuck. It's the eventually thing. But yeah, maybe just if men could just be like, hey, and have a normal conversation, they'd probably do better. Do lesbians do that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh, okay. Yeah. I had this one like super thirsty chick that was like,
hey,
really way
too. Scissor or something like that?
No. She was the one that sent me nudes straight away. And I was like, she was like super drunk and sent me all these nudes. And I was like, that's.
She was pretty too.
It was a lot. I was like, not into it. It was really aggressive.
She was so far away.
I'm a daddy. I don't want to be topped.
Honestly, like I don't imagine there will ever be a scenario where I exchange two lines with a man and he says, want to fuck? And I will genuinely say yes, and when. No. So like that, I obviously knew that I could like play chicken and win with this guy. Mm-hmm. Like
that was very satisfying to read.
Yeah.
And so, you know, absolutely. And I mean, I could take it further and I would win in person. And there was a circumstance where I did take it further and I did win in person. It's a longer story. I feel like, you know, if they want to be entertained, I'm happy to tell it, but I don't want to run out of your time.
No,
it's up to you. I mean, we don't care about the time so much. So tell us your story.
Yeah,
a good
so
way
this
to wrap
was,
up.
This was actually in the juniors section, and I was chatting with this guy, and he was a rugby player. His name was Andrew, and he was
Shout
chatting
out
me
Andrew.
up. Yeah. And I say Andrew because, you know, I do bring up his name in the later parts of the story. And he was chatting me up, and actually he got some good ones in. He was being a little bit funny. And I mean, I'm a lot more forgiving with the sexual innuendo with the younger group because that's what I want them for as well. Like, you know, I'm not there to have a serious, you know, involved, committed relationship. It's just for a period of fun and, you know. But so we got into sexual innuendo and he got some good shots in. I'm like, all right, maybe I have some potential. And later, I think in the week, he wanted to get together. I'm like, well, I'm going to this bar. I'm going to be there with friends. If you're in the neighborhood, come on down. And he's like, oh, okay, sure. And throughout the night, he's messaging me. He's like, oh, I'm out of friends. I'm not sure if I'm going to come over. Sorry, is there another trucker?
Yeah. Technical difficulties again.
He said, I'm not sure if I'm going to come over. I'm like, oh yeah, no worries. And then later he messages me. So I'm hanging out with friends, you know, we're all thinking of coming over, you know, do you want to have sex with all of us? And there's like four of them. I'm like, yeah, bring them down. Yeah. He's like, yeah. I'm like, you know, I have to see him first, you know, I'd like to take a look. Like, he's like, oh, we're all hot rugby player. I'm like, great. Bring him down. He's like, oh, really? It's like, can we have sex in the bathroom? I'm like, yeah, sure, of course. I mean, I wish you would have told me because I would have wore a skirt, but we'll figure it out. He's like, really? I've never had sex in the bathroom before. I'm like, oh, honey.
That's sweet.
Yeah. And so basically I was hanging out with my friends and I thought nothing of it. Like, he's not going to show or maybe. And what happened was they did show up. They kind of slinked over to a back room and started playing pool. And I hadn't even realized they were there. And friends were going out onto the patio and I walked with them and we walked by the pool room and I'm like, one of those guys looks familiar. And I walk in and suddenly they are playing the most important pool game of their life. Like, nobody can make eye contact. You know, they had been messaging me about, oh, this guy wants to bone you. Ha ha. I'm like, all right, bring him down. Let's see what he's got. Blah, sure. Blah, you know. And so, you know, and I have to also say this, I thought maybe this is all a bunch of like 23-year-olds playing rugby in school or somewhere, but this was an amateur grown-up league. So all these men were grown-ups.
Okay.
He was the youngest. So these were full grown men.
Uh-huh.
And just completely petrified at this point because they realized who I was.
Right.
And I sat down next to Andrew, who was like staring intently into his empty glass. I'm like, hey, how's it going, Andrew? You know, good, good. He's like trying to make appropriate levels of eye contact. It's super awkward. He's just like mumbling under his breath. I'm like, which one of your friends was it that wanted to, you know, fuck me? He's like, oh, that guy over Eric. I'm like, no, Eric's a big boy. He can introduce himself. And you know, making him super uncomfortable and making all his friends super uncomfortable, like scared little boys.
Right.
And basically I kind of walked away from it and saw them a couple times and yeah, they never manned up. None of them could just make a conversation.
Aww.
It was very sad. And as I was leaving the bar, poor Andrew messaged me saying, you know, sorry, it was so awkward. I froze up. I'm like, well, the lesson here, Andrew, is don't bite off more than you can chew.
Yeah. I kind of picture you standing in the bathroom doorway, like, come waiting, on, to really, like, take it full. I call them prey when they do that. Yeah. They become my prey. So I did a similar thing with a threesome. There was two guys looking for a chick to have a threesome with.
Sandwich.
And I went and to meet with them to see if I wanted to have this threesome, and one guy showed up. And he wouldn't even really talk about it or any. I mean, he wasn't someone I wanted to sleep with anyway, but I was like, okay, well, where's your friend? Maybe he is. Like, there's all different ways to have threesomes. Mm-hmm.
Actually hoping that the story ended with like two of the or three of the four came in or like was jittery and waiting for an action.
Them all naked in the bathroom together, waiting for Lucky.
Waiting for somebody to come in. I was like, ah.
Someone else walks in and take a piss and is like, what's going on?
It's not that kind of bathroom.
So if you said you guys want a closing story. So I would like to read you the story that I usually close my stand-up with.
Let's okay. Do it.
Go for it.
It's also a little longer and it's somewhat more unique in this context. And I'll read it to you guys. It's called The Book of Troy. Then one day, as I was swiping away, I came across Troy. All that I can tell you about Troy is that he was 36 and the man of my dreams. He had no bio in a single photo. Picture, if you can, a shirtless, exceptionally muscular man taking a selfie in a locker room mirror. The image is cropped just below his eyes to about mid-thigh. His jeans and underwear have been pulled down so much that he had to cover his penis with an emoji for use on Tinder. Well, my heart was all a flutter, because 95% of the time I swipe right on people I think would be fun to date. But 5% of the time I swipe right on people I think will be fun to mess with. I tell the readers of Online Dating Adventures that I had found a prince, and I really hoped that when I swiped right, it would not go unrequited. I also promised my readers that if Troy and I did match, I would communicate with him only in sentences that rhymed with Troy.
Oh my God.
And we'd see how long it would take for him to notice. I swiped right. We matched. He says, "Hi, Lucy."
He can read.
A day later, he says, "Lucky? Yes, Troy. No, don't be coy." He says, "I thought you ran off on me." I say, "That would be an unusual tactic to employ."
I thought she was going to start with ahoy.
Ahoy, Troy.
He says, "Usually, but wouldn't be the first time." I say, "Yeah, that's true and can really annoy. So are there other aspects of Tinder that you do enjoy?"
This is killing me. This is fucking
pure poetry.
He says, "Anonymity, works around my schedule, variety, HBU, ? I say, "Entertainment value mostly, but every now and then I meet a fun boy." He says, "Define." "Some of the exchanges are quite inane, and that brings me a lot of joy. May I suggest expanding your selection of photos, as having just the one may lead people to believe it's some kind of ploy." He says, "I changed it up a bit." I look at the photo. It's a side note. He zoomed in on his abs.
Oh my God.
I say, "There is a fabric I enjoy seeing men wear. Do you have any pictures you can post of yourself wearing corduroy?" He says, "Those are towels." He says, "Who wears corduroy? That's so 90s. I say, "Is it necessary that you, my fantasy, destroy?" LOL, sweetie, for you, I would wrap my whole body in corduroy. Would you dress up as a bellboy?
Jesus Christ.
Sweetie, bells and everything, calling out room service. I would order a po' boy. LOL, WTF, listen, I'm enjoying the small talk and all." This is him talking. "And I don't mean to be pushy and all, but can we get more straight to the point here?" I say, "Pray tell, what would that be, homeboy?" "Why are you single? That is not a term that I would employ. Okay, what's your story? Where is the straight to the point you were proposing to deploy? Okay, where are you? Why are you on Tinder? We've been over this already. For the pure joy." "For the pure joy? What are you looking for on here, and how can I fit that requirement? Can you tell me how to defeat the evil Pillsbury Doughboy?" And a side note, like, at this point, I'm starting to perform linguistic gymnastics, sure, to keep it going.
Because, yeah. How many words have the word boy, like, oi?
This is like 10 screen grabs later. He still hasn't clued in.
Right.
And LMAO, you actually made me chuckle. "Listen, do you even know how to talk straight?" And here I'm like, oh my God, he's getting it.
Yes.
He's getting it.
Yes.
And he's like, I say, "I get better at it when I'm holding a tall boy." He says, "Then come to my place now. I got some here for you." I say, "What's your address? I'm sure this is something I'll thoroughly enjoy." He says, "Oh my God, you're awesome. Listen, I did not believe that you would come. I seriously just ate a huge meal and I am seconds away from falling asleep." "Now that I know you're for real, I'm expecting you tomorrow around 9. I said, "It was a pleasure fucking with you, Troy. Hope it was good for you too. Good night."
Wow. Did you make a tally? Did you make a tally of how many times you had to, like, alliterate or, like, you know, repeat the sound?
Yeah, how many lines was that?
Oh, I don't know. I don't count, but it's like, you know, I think it's on 3 pages of Tolstoy.
Tolstoy.
Do you enjoy Tolstoy?
To be honest, though, if that was done to me, it would take me a little bit.
You'd need to reread it a couple times.
Yeah, it's like, wait.
Fuck with me. How?
Pool boy. What are we talking about to our pool boys?
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing your stories with us. Hopefully you will come back again. For our listeners, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or listen on Podbean. You can email us your questions at paradeofdicks@gmail.com. Leave a voicemail at 347-927-2401. Where can they find you, Lucky?
The easiest way to find me, you can go through my website, which is luckyminx.com. And from there, it'll link you to Facebook, where I'm very active, and Instagram, where I'm very active. I think there might still be a Twitter link, but ignore that. That's no longer valid. But yes, if you want to see these posts, friend me on Facebook. Like I said, write me a quick note to why you're friending me. Otherwise, you will not gain access. But yes, I'm looking forward to talking to you guys in the future.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to continuing to read all of your posts. Thank you for the work that you're doing for all women in teaching the younger generations. Thank you, Allegra, for being back. People can check you out on Instagram at
Allegra Drag, and on Twitter at Allegra_spread.
Jonelle, your blog?
My blog is on jongx.tumblr.com. Take a look at the photos, and you can tweet at me at EL_JONG.
And I am on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Lucy Buttons, or Facebook, The Lucy Buttons. Thank you so much for listening.